Indian relatives of two Kansas shooting victims, one of whom died, are urging fellow Indians not to send their children to study in the United States. The shooter allegedly yelled, "Get out of this country," as he opened fire on the two software engineers at a bar south of Kansas City. More than 1 million international students currently attend American colleges and universities. More than 160,000 of them are from India, second only to China, with more than 300,000. The vast majority of foreign students have a positive experience studying here. But Trump administration policies toward refugees and immigrants, and now this racially charged shooting, are prompting some foreign students to think twice. Esther Brimmer is executive director of the Association of International Educators, a nonprofit dedicated to international education and exchange. She joins us now from NPR's studios in Washington. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Start by telling us, what are you hearing? Are more students from India and China questioning whether Trump's America is a hospitable place?
We have been hearing from our members that there's a great deal of concern about studying in the United States. Indeed, that there are families who have seen these news reports. And it's a tragedy in that sense, because across the United States, colleges and universities want to welcome international students. But the recent news reports have raised concerns, as have recent actions by the administration.
What reasons are they giving? The administration's pledge to build a wall, the now stalled travel ban? Is it all of it?
There are several sets of concerns. The first set was the executive orders that were promulgated by this administration by banning people from the seven countries. Oh. Everybody from those seven countries was affected. It meant that there were students and scholars who were split up from their families. And people saw this. We had scholars who might have gone to conferences. They might have gone home to see their families. We had cases where a mother, who was a PhD student, went home. She wasn't able to get back to see her family. We had people going to conferences who all of a sudden were stranded outside the United States. There were approximately 17,000 students from those countries affected, but also concerns that other countries would be added to the list. And then even beyond that, concerns that this was evidence of a changing attitude in the United States towards international students. And while there's been some relief with the judicial action that has paused this, there are people who are worried that if they come to the United States this year, maybe next year they won't be able to get another visa. Maybe they might be stranded in their second or third year, not able to complete their program. And finally, the actions on immigration, because there is a connection between the United States policies on immigration and its face to the world. Is it seen as welcoming?
Right. And we should say the Trump administration is poised to propose a new travel ban executive order coming later this week. Anecdotally, Dr. Brimmer, we're seeing reports that more international students are looking at blue states or to Europe or Canada. Are there any numbers to back that up that you're seeing?
As you've indicated, this is actually an especially difficult time because colleges have issued their invitations to students to come and study. So students both in the United States and internationally are making their decisions. Several educational associations, including ours, NAFSA, and others, are working together to conduct a survey this spring to get more information from admissions officers so we can understand what we're happening. At the moment, the United States is the leading destination for international students, but we are losing market share. Increasingly, students are recognizing they do have choices. Some students may choose to go to Australia or Canada or other countries that also have excellent institutions. We may be losing them for years. If they don't come this year, they're not coming for, let's say, the next four if they're an undergraduate. So a decision made now by an international student can have long-term consequences for that student, for the students who would have worked with that person, and for colleges and universities across the United States.
Dr. Brimmer, foreign students often pay full fare. That helps subsidize U.S. students. Isn't there a potential huge economic impact of all this?
Indeed. While we stress the intellectual impact, there is an important economic impact as well. There are over 1 million international students and their families in the United States. And that group of people accounts for over 400,000 jobs and over $32 billion worth of economic activity in the United States.
Beyond the economic impact, what's the value of having international students on campus?
For decades, the United States has recognized that by having international students here, we benefit from the exchange of ideas, from bringing together smart people, which fosters innovation, which helps the United States economy. But also, international students affect our informal ambassadors. People around the world who have studied in the United States usually go home with a positive view of the United States. They learn more about the United States. And as they go on to their careers, and many of them have careers as diplomats and business leaders, they retain that positive view of the United States. So there's an important intellectual benefit, economic benefit, but also a long-term political and diplomatic benefit for the United States of having international students come study here, benefit from the United States, and create those international links which are helpful in the future for decades to come.
Esther Brimmer is Executive Director of the Association of International Educators. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.